take the place over and let them go. Driver, surprise me. Whatever works for you. I'm brand new, reinvented.
Hello and welcome in to the latest edition of the Rebel Room. I'm Taylor Byrne alongside Case Kiefer and Ray Brewer. Hope you had a tremendous holiday wherever you were, in Las Vegas, on Maui, in Wyoming, if you went home. Hope it was good for you. I know it was good for the Rebels, or at least parts of it were, and I believe the guys had a good time. Case, you spent your Thanksgiving over at Brewer's house, correct?
I did, for sure.
Which can be an interesting experience.
Yeah, it was, I don't know, I don't feel like there was too much noteworthy, actually, this time around. I feel like I'm letting everyone down by not having some crazy story, but maybe Brewer can say
something. Carla felt that you left because you sensed she was pissed at you, and she wanted me to apologize.
Oh, no.
What could possibly happen that would make Case, first of all, just pissed at anybody, and then let alone at your wife?
Well, there
very
was
unlikely.
Case, as he always does, brought some gifts for my children, and there was a Nerf football.
Uh-huh.
And they were playing ball in the house, and Nicholas threw one into the soda area and knocked
the
soda onto
the
floor.
Sure, yeah, I mean, as you do.
Yeah. And Carla turned around and barked, as she seldom does.
No, I didn't.
So now you have as bad of an influence on the kids as our buddy Adam Hill does, who attempts to cause chaos around children anytime he can.
Now, this actually did come up as well, because I just like, I don't know, some people would say it's a fault of mine, but I really enjoy children. Some people are like, don't have kids around, I don't want to see kids, blah, blah, blah. Like, I like playing with kids, I love going to Brewer's house. Yeah,
like
I worked at a preschool.
Sitter.
I worked at a preschool at when I was in college. So I like, you know, going over to Brewer's house, messing around with Nick, his son, who's now five. Almost six.
And it's better than me having to mess around with him.
So what I'm doing, I'm just trying to play around with him a little bit. The other person you reference, Adam, is like maliciously trying to
He's basically trying to Brewer's day go sideways.
Yeah, his is intentional. Kiefer is kind-hearted and like 2 years ago, Nick wore him out, if I remember.
Oh, yeah. That kid has so much energy. It's crazy. But no, that was not why. I thought, two young children, big dinner. I know the Brewers had stuff to do at their house. That was why I was not trying to overstay. Had nothing to do with Carla. I mostly felt bad for Nick because he got yelled at basically because of me.
Kiefer just
took it like a champ.
Just trying to get some practice in with children for down the road. You know, you never know. Never know what could be coming. We do know what is coming for the UNLV basketball team, which is Oregon on Friday. But before we get into that and what happened on Maui, the season is over for UNLV football. They finished 3-9, lose 35-28 at Wyoming. I believe I have that final score correct. I guess first with this game, forget the game overall. It's disappointing. The last 3 weeks, things kind of get away from UNLV on the scoreboard a bit. And this one, although it's close, I mean, Wyoming's only other victory this year was against Reno in a game where the Wolfpack just completely no-showed the game. 3-9, won the cannon, hit the over, a few close losses, a few blowouts. Just what is, Ray Brewer, your feeling after year one of Tony Sanchez?
I mean, two things. One, obviously, a step in the right direction. They were competitive in games.
Not everybody would say obviously a step in the right direction. So what's the case?
For me, I think it's obviously a step in the right direction. They were competitive, like I said, in games that you didn't expect them to be. They beat Reno, which is primary goal number one. It took Hauk multiple times to do it. And that just signaled the right step. But moreover, I think just how the program feels more like a real program. They're recruiting early where they already have 11 commits. There's excitement. The players seem more united than years past. And just some of the little things, you know, upgrade to Sam Boyd Stadium with the turf, new shiny uniforms, a training table with food for after when the players work out. To me, it feels more like a real program. Now, year two, we're going to have to see a double improvement. And there were some red flags for me. One, obviously, we knew going in they need to develop a few guys at the quarterback position that could sling the ball around. But I think more important, that defensive line was awful. I think they had like 9 total sacks this year. And when you don't get any pressure on the other team's quarterback, as witnessed by the Wyoming game, that Wyoming quarterback looked like, you know, Joe Montana. And I think they need to figure out how to get some guys that could rush the quarterback in a hurry, my humble opinion.
I mean, the defense ended up looking a lot closer to what we expected preseason, and one of the reasons I ended up getting the win total because I think I had 3, but that was largely because I thought defensive problems were going to be too much to overcome, and for a while that was not the issue at all. It was actually on the other side, and the injuries to Blake Decker. But just first off, Case, same question to you. Just what do you feel after, you know, after year one of Tony Sanchez, 3-9, some of the positives that Ray talked about, but some of the same problems, you know, a defense that just got shredded, especially by the run there for long stretches, couldn't stop anybody, same problems on quarterback. Just how are you feeling about things right now?
I would say it's a mild success. I go back to, I think, maybe our first podcast of the year, Brewer, who had been so optimistic, talking about how this team is going to go to a bowl game, I'm going to make this huge bet of my life that they're going to go over the win total. We sat down and looked at the roster, and Brewer like had a reckoning. He's like, yeah, man, there's just not much to work with here. I think with that in mind, going 3-9 is not terrible. I mean, we said their win total's 2-5. I think they went 1-4 in games decided by a touchdown or less. I mean, they had some bad luck too. They easily could have won another one or even another two, and then certainly no one to be saying it's a disappointment. I think the year played out pretty much how I guess we expected. I think they're probably a little better. I don't think they were. I mean, they weren't a walkover for many teams in the Mountain West. I guess San Diego State excluded. So that's what I keep coming back to, a mild success, and next year is when I want to see that big step forward. And I agree, defensively, this was worse than I expected. Brewer mentioned the sacks, which I totally agree, and this is what I wrote about last time I went out there. I think a lot of times sacks can be an overrated stat in football, just if you're getting pressure, if you're getting hurries, but UNLV wasn't doing that either. I mean, there's no one even close to them, and they'd get gashed on the ground too. So defense, a huge, huge undertaking over this next year.
And I think the another red flag for me is that I thought the team would get better as the season got longer, but if you look at the last two games especially, they were awful against San Diego State. They just got pushed around by
is San Diego State good?
Yeah, they were the best team in the league,
just,
obviously.
Just,
yeah.
Just wanna,
no, yeah. No, you guys are right.
Taking
you guys,
that free lunch.
Disrespect the whole year.
No, you got to admit, when we made the bet, it wasn't that like, oh, Brewer's being this overreacting dog.
Well, we made it before San Diego State started struggling. Like, when they lost at home to South Alabama, I was like, yeah, wow, maybe I am wrong on San Diego State. And then once they hit league play, it just flipped for them.
Yeah, the trajectory was, I think when we first made it, Taylor and I thought we were probably getting like 3 or 4 points of value. Then when they started losing, we were like, wow, Brewer might have the better end of this. Then they got health, Pumphrey got healthy, and they started rolling, and it's like, okay. Yeah. We're in good position.
But just UNLV, and I don't know what to, you know, decipher the poor play down the stretch, because I thought that, you know, Tony would have them getting better, and knowing that the only way to win the offseason again would be to have a strong finish and to have something concrete to sell instead of a vision or a dream. And they just got gradually worse and worse and worse. And I know part of that is because there's some dead weight on the roster that they're just stuck with. But, you know, part of it is, shoot, you should have probably done a better job developing your team.
So as Case said earlier, 1-4 in games decided by at least one possession. So if they beat Fresno State like they absolutely should have, or if they end up pulling out that San Jose State game, or if they go to Wyoming and win, you have 4 wins, I don't think anybody is bringing up any kind of disappointment. And I don't think rational people are anyway, but I sent this out on Twitter yesterday, essentially, you know, if you were told before the year, I guess back on Saturday, if you were told before the year that it was going to be 3 wins, so over the total with a cannon win, plus all of the kind of extra stuff, recruiting is going better, there's just more of a presence, social media just feels like the program is heading in the right direction. And I know that's not a tangible thing, but it does feel like they're building, like they have a little momentum. But 3 wins, cannon game, I think you take that. I think pretty much every fan would have accepted that. Where the disappointment comes in is the way the season actually played out, and sitting there at 2-3 with the cannon already in hand, looking at the remaining schedule. And Ray, I think you were predicting a bowl game. I know others in local media were saying it would now be a disappointment if they didn't get to a bowl game.
I did not hear that, and I well, it was really it was Adam.
It was Adam on air. But like, I never got to that point, but I did. I understood where it was coming from. A lot of winnable games, but as I said at the time, just because it's winnable doesn't mean you're going to go win. Could have gotten more. Probably should have gotten at least one more, but. Ultimately, I think 3-9 with the quarterback problems that they had, with the defense just completely falling apart and just being not that good and kind of injuries hitting yet a couple areas anyway, I think overall this is a positive year. I know maybe that's Homer, rosy glass, whatever. I understand what the project there, or at least I understand parts of how hard it's got to be to try and build things there. So I think this was at least an okay first step.
I mean, one of the worst jobs in America that Tony Sanchez got. You know, I mean, everything from facilities to player talent to player depth. I think Tony had told me that they didn't have a sophomore wide receiver on their roster. And obviously when you recruit...
No, it's a different class because sophomores are Kendall Keys and Devontae
Boyd.
One
class they didn't have of on the roster, and... You know, obviously, when you recruit, you want to have, you know, you want to have it balanced. You don't want to have 8 offensive linemen in your signing class, unless you get 8 guys that could rush the quarterback and make a tackle. But you know, to make over UNLV football is not going to happen overnight. Tony Sanchez has been labeled as a builder. I've seen what he's been able to do at Bishop Gorman, and you know now. He's going to be better next year. His players are going to be better. Played a lot of young guys, especially, you know, the tailbacks, two freshmen who are going to only get bigger, stronger, and faster. I think you've got some key members of the defense. My guy Tim Huff, who are only going to be sophomores next year, that are going to be able to grow and flourish in your system.
And they'll certainly bring in plenty of JUCO guys. And then you mentioned they've already got, I think, 11 or 12 signed for the class. You're gonna and again next year probably a lot of opportunities for freshmen or young guys to play early. Just a quick look ahead here, the non-conference schedule next season. They'll have a 1AA team, and then it's at UCLA, at Central Michigan, Idaho at home, and then they'll have road trips in league to Boise State, to San Diego State. They'll get then those teams that they traveled to this year, Colorado State, Fresno State, and Wyoming at home. What is the Cannon game will be at home next year? That will be at the final regular season game of the season. What's the number next year? What's a successful win number next year? Does it have to be 5?
That's exactly what I was thinking. I think it's 5. I think you need – I mean, obviously, if you don't improve, it's a big disappointment. And for the case we're making that they had some bad luck in these close games, hopefully you turn that around. You have a little bit more talent. I think that you need to be in contention for a bowl game. I don't think it's the end of the world if you don't necessarily get there. But I think I would be looking for 5 wins next year.
I agree. I think you want to be in a bowl game conversation if you could get things to bounce your way. But just finish. I mean, 1-4 in games decided by a touchdown or less. Some opportunities to win. You know, you just if you talk out loud, I think they're going to be, you know, able to beat Central Michigan, able to beat Idaho, able to beat the lower level team, able to beat Wyoming and Fresno and Reno at home. That's 6 games they'll be in for sure. I don't know if they're going to win. I don't know if they're going to be favored. If they're going to be an underdog, it'll be less than a touchdown, I would guess.
I did a lot to
a lot
go
changes,
between now and then, but I'm with you.
Hypothetically speaking, if you win the games you're supposed to and maybe still won, you know, the sky could be the limit. Year 2, I'd rather play at home than on the road, but I was at the San Diego State game, and there was, like, literally whole sections without somebody there. And that's the one thing I'm curious when you talk to Tony this week, to just say, hey, you tried everything you could to get people to show up to games. You went out of your way, unlike any other coach before, yet you had 2 wins, 3 wins at the end of the fall. there was nobody there. How disappointing was that?
Yeah.
I mean, asking that from me, exact word for word.
All right. I'll try to do that. I mean, ultimately, it's wins that get people there. So that's definitely not a surprising thing. But I would set the season win total right now at 4.5, which, you know, that's two more than this year's. And I think it's a reasonable number. So that's something. At least I do think it should be close to 500 next year. But we'll have plenty of time in the off season. And as Ray said, I'll be talking to Tony Sanchez later this week for his just kind of season wrap up sit down. So plenty of time to get into that more. But basketball, lots going on with the Rebels. As I said, Friday, number rankings aren't out yet, but I think number 21 as of last week, Oregon, comes to Las Vegas. This is at the MGM Grand. So this is the rodeo road trip for UNLV, and instead of an Orleans game, I think this is actually the first time in Dave Rice's 5 years that they have not played a game at Orleans. So instead, they're doing it at MGM Grand for the second year in a row. This time, it will be in the season ticket package. Last year, it was an add-on, and because it ended up as the same weekend as the Las Vegas Bowl, and Utah was in both the Vegas Bowl and was UNLV's opponent for that game, it was The Utes were well represented, shall we say, and Dave Rice trying to make sure that this is a UNLV crowd, which shouldn't be a problem. It's just a one-game thing against Oregon. Very tough opponent, but you know, I think a lot of people probably feeling pretty good about UNLV right now just based on what they've seen coming out of the Maui Invitational. And so I'll throw it to you guys. I was there, but what were your perceptions from back here? The two-point loss to UCLA, where the zone offense just non-existent in the first half for a long stretch, and they miss a bunch of free throws, and yet they only lose by two, and then they handle their business against Chaminade and take care of Indiana, and then at home beat down Prairie View A&M. Just Ray, you first. What did you feel about the trip to the Maui Invitational?
May I quote my father?
I will allow that.
Even Dave Rice could coach his team to a Mountain West championship.
Okay.
John Brewer, Dave Rice hater after the UCLA game. I think we saw that the team has some athleticism, some good pieces. I thought Seegers was a little too eager to prove himself, that he was in a rush, that he's going to be much better when he realizes that he doesn't have to carry the team or be what we think he's supposed to be. I think Ike is trying to figure out his role. At Mercer, he was the guy. Here, he's one of many guys, and he doesn't exactly – he as well was forcing some things. McCaw, obviously awesome, our best player. You know, Dwayne Morgan has great length, tenacious defense, scares me when he shoots the ball still.
Which he hasn't done a whole lot of, which I credit him. And even when he is shooting, it's not those jumpers that made you shake your head last year. Like, he's impressed a lot of people, and it's largely mental because he was always an athletic guy. But he has bought into his role better than anyone else on that team and understanding what the team does and does not need from him.
Ben Carter, high basketball IQ. I thought he was going to come in case. I think when he transferred here, I was like, oh, my God, foul machine. He's managed not to foul as much as I thought he would.
I forgot there's something on UNLV I was higher on than you, because I loved Ben Carter.
Yeah, I said, oh, my God, foul machine limited offensively, and he's been really, really good.
He's been awesome.
Yeah. Totally above average. Zimmerman, tough to really. He's been sick.
He's been sick. Rolled his ankle against Prairie View A&M. He's expected to be fine by Friday. But, yeah, we haven't seen as much from him. UNLV getting a lot more practice than they had planned on without Zimmerman.
If Cornish should come around and be who everybody thinks he should be, he right now is the only one that's having a sophomore slump, if you will. If he could be just what he was last year, come in, hit a big three, play some really good defense. I think his struggles offensively have kind of hurt him defensively. I've seen him get beat a few times.
I mean, he's just not a very good defender.
I thought he was good last year, above average. I thought serviceable.
He's fine. What I've actually been impressed with is that I do still see him every once in a while making some plays on defense, even though he is so far in his own head on offense. But I think
I'm going to defend myself for once, Taylor. Okay. I think he's better at defense than you think he is.
Where would you rank him on the team as a guard defender?
As a guard defender? Well, yeah. Seegers is obviously, to me, the one.
Well, McCaw is the one. But
Seegers and McCaw are better for sure. Is Jones considered a guard?
Ish.
Tough to say. Verdict's still out for me on him, his defense.
Jones is a better defender.
Is he?
Because he can make up for things. He can get beat the same way Jordan can get beat, but he can make up for it.
With his length.
Yeah.
See, I don't know,
and
man.
Morgan's a better – like, I'm not trying to hammer the kid. I'm just saying
just don't sleep on him.
He's not a great defender.
I just can't believe you listed off – Mr. UNLV here, you named about 10 guys on the team, and it took this conversation to get Derek Jones out of your mouth, which I think is the talk of the team. I mean, this guy, I know we were excited about him coming in because of what he can – because of his dunks, and there was some hype on him, but I don't think that anyone thought that he could do what he's done so far. I mean, I just think there's like a different energy when he's in the game, and it's exciting, and you want to see what he's going to do next. I mean, that's really – might be what stands out to me after this last week.
And he's a good shooter, by the way. I didn't think he was going to be that
good. He's a decent shooter, yeah.
He can do just about everything. I mean, it seems like he doesn't have many limitations, I guess, which I thought maybe he would struggle in some areas coming in.
Yeah, when he committed, I thought freshman year is going to be nothing more than a few highlight dunks and just kind of figuring his way out. I actually thought he would struggle in the same way Dwayne Morgan kind of struggled, just not able to figure out where he needs to be for them. But once I started going to practice, even going back to like August, like you started to see it, and the more and more like that guy just finds a way to make plays.
He was rated high because of the dunks, I think, but solid player as it turns out. You know, I think everybody's red flags are free throw shooting at the end of games.
They'll be fine.
Which I agree with you. I totally loved your bird's eye view where you pointed that out.
Yeah.
I mean,
so with the exception of Okonobo, who we're about to get into, is no longer on the team. Everybody who had played in college before was minimum a 70% free throw shooter. And then the new guys, Jones is an okay shooter. Zimmerman is plenty good for his size at the free throw line. And then Poyser, I think, is okay. Like, there was no concern to me that was going to stay down, especially since we had last year to judge off of, where they were just as bad in non-conference play and then ended up as an average to a little above average free throw team for the season because they were so good in conference play.
I just think late game, there's a mental hurdle
that
has to be there. But I wanted to fly to Hawaii and chest bump you and fly back. I was so excited with that paragraph.
Yeah, Brewer's probably surprised how positive I am now, because when you were in Hawaii, all I was doing was just trying to torture him because he was so just on cloud nine the entire time about this UNLV team, even after they lost the first game.
Yeah.
If you saw that first game and you didn't feel optimistic, then you were watching a different game.
Well,
there were a lot of – I think the venom was louder than the positives.
I don't know, because I told you – I'm in between on this. I can see you not coming away optimistic. I don't think UCLA – I don't think they have it together totally right now. I don't think they're that great of a team.
They hit 23 of 24 from the line. That's tough to overcome. That's, like, impossible for – you only see that, like, free throw competitions with kids who can't do anything but shoot.
Yeah, I don't know. Then my suspicion that they weren't good, then the next night they came out and they were down by 30 at halftime.
Yeah, I mean, the only
– legs were dead.
The only players who impressed me in that game from UCLA were Alford – and Holiday. Like everybody else, the big kid, Welsh, he was open every single shot. Like, he scored 20 on 12-foot baseline jumpers when no one was guarding him. You know, but I saw both sides coming away from that. I think overall I sided more with the positive because they were so close with having so many things go wrong with 9 minutes in the first half looking like they had never played against a zone before. But I also understand the people who are saying, well, this is year five for Rice. Zone offense has been an issue at almost every juncture, you know, with some notable exceptions. And there it is again. And the free throws have been problems before. And so there it is again. And so those are the things that have to be overcome ultimately. And I think the free throws are going to fix themselves. And the zone offense, that's got to be coaching, and we'll see how they progress with that.
Now, they lost a game because of it.
Yeah, they absolutely did. And one that I don't know how bad or good that loss is going to look. And also the Indiana win, you know, they've got a lot of things to figure out. But that's another, you know, very, very, very potential laden team that, you know, the turnovers, credit to UNLV for speeding that game up. But Indiana threw the ball away a lot. And then the less said about the last 2 minutes of that game, the better, because that was just awful. But UNLV did enough to put itself in position to where it could kind of almost blow it and still be fine. It was McCaw that hit the corner three that I on Twitter, I just put McCaw dagger. It was to give him a 13-point lead with 4:09 remaining, and that lead like vanished in a second. And if they would have ended up losing that game, I don't think I would have been allowed off the island, which honestly would be okay.
Would you have deleted the tweet?
No, of course not.
Okay. Listen, to me, they picked up a win against a big conference opponent who's got the potential to win a lot of games.
Yeah, could be. I mean, I think preseason picked second in the Big Ten. Like they could be a very good team.
So that's a resume builder. Taylor, you look at the upcoming series of games: Oregon, Wichita State, Riverside,
Arizona State.
Yeah. Probably not in that order. I might have botched it.
Oh, you had it almost exact.
Okay.
Arizona State and Arizona flipped.
Yep.
That's it.
I think they beat Oregon. I think they beat Riverside. I think they beat Arizona State. And then I'd like to see them steal one of the other two.
God, Wichita State's been really bad, but you got to think they're going to get it together. But I watched them twice for some reason.
Well, I mean, without Van Fleet,
yeah,
they're lost right now. And so he's expected to be back by then. But they're having all kinds of injury problems. The reserve who just got carted off after another home loss is right. Alabama went in there and won.
No, they were in the tournament in Orlando.
Oh, okay.
And they lost to Alabama and someone else, Iowa. I think, in that
they lost by 23 to Iowa. So, and Wichita State is 2-4 on the year. But as we said, most of that without Fred Van Fleet, they're easily their best player. So they're trying to figure things out. But he's expected to be back by then. That'll be an interesting one. No matter what, that's a tough place to play. That was Dave Rice's first loss at UNLV.
Taylor Burns,
my first game on the beat. 4-year anniversary today.
Of today?
Yeah. Last year, no, my mom hasn't called you, has she? Last year she set up like a lunch tray from Capriati's.
God, that was good.
Without me knowing that. Dude, do you want to know what Ken Pom thinks about these next 5 games?
Oh, I guess. I mean, the diary. Go ahead.
1-4.
You say that with like such a little.
Well, I just, I mean, know because you hate,
can
you
see
hate
your
it.
Face, you want to see you at what?
Well, no, this is the last time we brought it up. You just mocked him, only having him beat Cal Poly by 2. I think. What was the score of that game?
That would be 74-72.
Up by double digits, but either way, they got to play.
The final score was exactly right.
Kempom,
what more do you want?
The diary. All right, so UNLV is going to beat Riverside and lose the other 4 games.
No, actually, beat Arizona State.
They're going to lose to Riverside.
Has them losing by 1 to Riverside.
I could see that happening. Riverside's a powerhouse. I had a long weekend that turned into going to the Riverside dorms once, and I went to their March Madness. I'll tell you guys off the air.
So I feel like there's more of a story there. I'm listening.
It was quite the evening. Quite the evening.
So realistically, though, what are we thinking? Obviously, if you go 3-2 in this stretch, no matter the three, I think it's a positive. If you go 2-3, if one of them is at Wichita State or at Arizona, I think it's good. Oregon can win this game. Like this feels, honestly, right now, so we're recording this Monday. The game is Friday at MGM Grand. Get there. Should be a fun environment. This feels to me right now the same as I felt going into the UCLA and Indiana games, which I thought they were coin flips.
I just think that UNLV is better than Oregon. I'm sorry. My opinion. I like UNLV to beat Oregon.
Have you seen Oregon play this year?
I've bet on them multiple times. Okay. I haven't seen them play because it wasn't on TV, but I followed it on my
phone. Can you name a player?
No.
Okay.
Of course not.
I just wanted to check.
There's some schools I can't even name their mascots, and I've bet on them like 9 times. So it is what it is. It's all lotto system.
Can you name the coach?
No. Of Oregon? The guy that used to be at Altman.
Hey, all right.
Yeah,
There's one.
To me, the Riverside game is must win. You want to avoid ugly losses. And you're going to get some of those in the league because it's tough to play on the road in the Mountain West. Like at Air Force, you could lose that game.
Yeah.
You know, it happens all the time. Wyoming's pretty bad.
Well, I actually think at Wyoming is a tougher game this year than at Air Force. But the same kind of logic holds.
So, yeah, you
going on the road in league play is hard.
Yeah, people are going to lose. That's a forgivable sin. Losing at Riverside, to me, this game reminds me of that Bakersfield game. Do you remember that game?
Yep, I was talking about this exact thing with people the other night, and this may sound contradictory, but if the only way I worry about that Riverside game is if UNLV wins these next two. If they win on Friday against Oregon and next Wednesday go to Wichita State and win, then Saturday they follow that up. So it's back-to-back road games, Wednesday at Wichita State, Saturday at Riverside. I would be worried about a letdown in that spot for UNLV if they're coming in off of five straight victories.
I'm getting old, man. I'm so sorry. If Austin Starr isn't dunking like Karam Mashar did against Bakersfield,
Mashar,
same guy, then it's
well.
A failure.
And also, are you talking Santa Barbara?
No, he dunked against.
Well, I know he dunked against Bakersfield, but initially. I was confused because I was making the comparison to that Santa Barbara game.
Oh,
going on the road there after the Carolina victory and all that.
I covered that game. It went into double overtime. The fans were about to storm the court.
Stand back corner three.
Oh, he got the rebound and then he walked back and he shot it. That was the last game before you came, by the way. Anyways, love doing the show, Taylor. Love proving you guys right.
I think that means Ray's trying to get out of here.
No, I'm just saying.
Us right or wrong, up in the air. I will say, I was with you coming into here. I thought that they would beat Oregon. But, Oregon, I'm just looking over their numbers. They've been pretty good this year. I don't know what fault you have with them from betting on them. But I still lean
interesting
UNLV
game
in that game. But
tonight for them, they play Fresno State. I think they're laying like 11.5. So I'm just going to be curious to see that one.
I mean, Oregon's pretty much beat up on just about everyone they've played, including Baylor. I mean, I don't know. They look good on paper. I still would lean UNLV in that game, and I think they need to go 3-2 in this stretch. Just knowing where the fan base is right now and seeing the just
anytime they even play bad for 5 minutes, it's like, all right,
he's awful.
Who's calling U-Haul to get Dave Rice's crap out of his office?
That's just going to be even worse if they go 2-3. I think 2-3 is realistic. I think they're going to be 2-3 or 3-2. But God, I'd really like to see him.
Anytime they lose the rest of the year, people are going to talk about firing Dave Rice. They could be 23-1.
What if they go 5-0 in this stretch?
They could go 5-0 in stretch and be 23-1 and have a road game at wherever.
Utah State,
right? Lose the game.
It says Utah State on those jerseys. You can't lose that game.
Yeah. Well, listen, I've proven right, though, right?
They don't even have David Collette anymore. I'm honestly on the side of you can't lose that game anymore.
No, but I'm just saying that, anyways, they could be 23-1 and lose, and people would be like, freaking Rice, he'll never get it right.
I mean, if they go 2-3 with the victories being Riverside and Arizona State, then there's going to be – because some people already don't want to give them any credit for the Indiana game, don't think that Indiana is going to be any good.
Of course.
So – I could see that making things kind of loud, especially if they – so then that would be – they'd win South Dakota after that. So you go into Christmas with the Indiana game as your only one, and if people say, oh, Crean sucks, he's going to be gone, Indiana's terrible, then, they wouldn't give him any credit.
Here's the deal. There's five games, two that we suspect they're going to win, Riverside and Arizona State. Two we suspect they're going to lose, Arizona and Wichita State. One game that's up for grabs.
I'm not ready just to write off Wichita State.
Well, no, but I'm with him though.
Okay.
That makes even if they're down, that's a tough game.
Tough place to be.
It's tough for sure. But.
So to me, your success or failure of this five game stretch defined Friday night.
I think that's as good a point to end on as any. Hope to see you guys out there. For Case, for Ray, I am Taylor. We'll talk to you guys next week.